Think of the last thing you put into your mouth. Whether it was a slice of pizza or a dick, chances are you tasted it. Hi, I'm Zookeeper Deidre, and this is Weird Animal Facts
Explicit,
a show dedicated to the weird, odd, unusual, gross, and oftentimes disturbing facts about animals. And in case you couldn't guess it by that opening line, even though this is an animal podcast, it's not for kids. But just because this is a podcast for adults doesn't mean it's not educational, because it is. But please don't leave, because it is okay to learn while being an adult. I mean, after all, it does take most Americans into their late 30s to somewhat understand how to do their taxes. And most of us still end up calling our mom while filing. Therefore, proving that learning is important.
Knowledge is power.
If you couldn't guess, today's podcast episode is about my most favorite sense, the sense of taste. Mainly because I fucking love food. Where will we be without the savory taste of tacos, or the sweet flavor of donuts, or the salty satisfaction of him not coming in your mouth? We taste, and so do animals. For the last 2 weeks, we have taken a closer look at the senses of touch and sight. Today, in our third week of our 5-week journey into the five senses, we take a big slobbery lick. So to understand how some animals experience the sensational sense of taste. And the two animals with the most renowned tongues are snakes and catfish. In terms of evolution, I know that's very uncreation of me, but whether you are on the evolution train or creation boat, we can all agree that animals have to adapt in order to survive. Just like my dad adapts to my raunchy sex jokes by pretending that I'm still the sweet, innocent virgin I once was in high school, who instead of telling these dick jokes, tell you jokes about my brother breaking his arm while raking leaves because he fell out of the tree. Ah! My arm! As I said, in terms of evolution, taste is said to help with survival.
I will survive!
If something tastes sour, that's an indication to us that it might be rotten or poisonous. Now, us humans are really stupid in this way, as most of us seek out the flavors that in the days before food trucks and spices would have indicated to us that we could die. Think of the bitterness of an IPA, or the acidity of red wine. Likely, over our years of experimentations gone wrong, and organic chemistry knowledge, we've learned how to perfect the alcohol-making process so not to kill us as quickly while drinking. Because if you drink enough, you can die. And while we weirdo humans drown our tacos with hot sauce or finish off that sixth glass of wine, animals around the world use their sense of taste in a more practical manner. Survival!
At first I had a taste and I felt so alive.
Made me wonder how I never had a taco in my life. Although I'm pretty confident I would die if I was told I could never eat a taco for the rest of my life. I mean, have you ever tasted authentic street taco off the side of the road from a woman who doesn't speak a lick of English? I mean, if you haven't done that, then you aren't really living.
I will survive!
Where my main purpose of my sense of taste is to orgasm over a plate of tacos and a glass of horchata, the first animals of today's main purpose, for their sense of taste, is to find food.
Made me so hungry!
Snakes! Bone-filled noodles. Or as the scaredy-cat wusses of the world refer to them, nope ropes. If you're a die-hard Weird Animal Facts Explicit fan, you have already heard me talk about the Woma python and African bush viper. And for those of you who are like me and cannot get enough snakes in your life, you're in luck, because we are going to go deep into snakes.
Oh yeah.
A simple and common fact many of us already know is that snakes use their tongue to smell. However, since it's their tongue that they're using, it's actually their sense of taste. Right? I mean, that's how it works, right? That's how it works, yeah. It's my show, I can do what I want. That's how it works. Fun fact! Smell helps you taste. And here's how. When you swallow food, the smell from that food goes into your nasal cavity. You know, that's the thing that, like, when you're laughing while drinking water and the water shoots out your nose, it went through your nasal cavity. When you swallow food, that smell goes there for your nose to process the smell. And that smell, in combination with your taste buds, give you the taste of a taco. You also inhale the smell prior to eating it, but we're talking about taste today. Smell is next week.
I thought you were supposed to be talking about snakes.
Well, yes, I am. I am. Now I am. As mentioned, snakes smell with their tongue, or as we'll be referring to it, they taste with their tongue. Kind of. We'll get into it. If you look at a snake's tongue, you'll see that it is forked. That'd be like from one of those early 2000 gore movies like Saw or Dead Silence, and they take the pair of scissors and they cut a slit down the middle of the tongue, so that there are now two tongues, but still connected? One tongue that breaks off into two points. There we go. Yeah. But why? Well, in the horror movies, it's to give you nightmares. However, for the snake split tongue, it actually is very beneficial. Snakes are legless reptiles that slither around. Fun fact, snakes are also eyelidless. Eyelidless. They don't have eyelids. Anyways, snakes are legless and eyelidless reptiles that slither around, looking for food. Yes, they have eyes and can see, but the main way snakes see the world is with their tongue. When you lick something, the buds on your tongue, aka tongue hair, or
microvilli.
Microvilli is the hair? It's kind of like hair. It's tongue hair. That's what microvilli is. Your tongue has hair on it, and that hair, or microvilli, collects taste, and then sends that taste signal into your brain so that you know how delicious that taco is.
Yum.
And now it's time for Actual Facts. With me, Ashley! Hi nerds, it's your girl Ashley here, with some actual facts about the sexy snake inside your mouth, aka your tongue. So a lot of incorrect nerds out there think that the human tongue is actually separated by zones. You remember that crap they actually tried to pull over on you when you were a kid? Like you're some dumb blonde? Actually, your tongue does not have zones. It's not a basketball game. The sour guards aren't actually out wide, and the bitter boys, they aren't actually in the back. That's all bullshit. How your buds actually work is more like how little kids play soccer. There's no order, and they just follow that flavor ball around like static on a balloon does your hair. They all want that flavor. Your taste buds are actually distributed all over your mouth. That's right. You nerds heard me. Taste buds actually cover your tongue and actually can be found on the roof of your mouth. Actually. So your entire mouth is actually a giant flavor box. It doesn't actually matter where the Sour Patch Kids go on your tongue because all your taste buds work to sense all the different types of taste. Got it? And yeah, some areas of your tongue are a bit more sensitive to different tastes, but they actually all do it all. Like actually. Next time do your own research, nerds. Like, actually. This has been Actual Facts with Ashley. See you next time. Bye. Fun fact, you also have taste buds in the back of your throat too. That's why you can still taste the saltiness when he's deep.
Aren't you supposed to be talking about snakes?
I'm getting there! Do snakes have taste buds? Yes. Just not in their tongue. Okay, so remember how we have taste buds on the roof of our mouth, and how when you laugh with water in your mouth, it shoots out your nasal cavity? Well, this is kind of how snakes taste. Stay with me. The snake's tongue doesn't have taste buds on it, but it has the split tongue that it flickers in and out of his mouth. And the fork on the tip of the tongue collects chemicals in the air. So there are no receptors on the tongue. It's kind of like when you want to taste the frosting on the cake, so you poke it with your finger and then bring it your finger to your mouth so you can taste it. That's pretty much what the snake's tongue does. When they flick up their tongue to collect the frosting particles in the air left behind by the mouse that they will soon murder, that forked tongue, now with the flavors on it, but they can't taste yet, is brought into the mouth to the roof of the mouth. Why?
Jacobson's organ.
On the roof of all snakes' mouths, near the nasal cavity, is a portal to the brain, called the Jacobson organ. Okay, so when the snake brings in their tongue, that has the odor or taste on it, they put those tastes into this cavity called the Jacobson organ, which is not the nasal cavity, it's just near there. From there, that organ then works like taste buds and sends that chemical sample to the brain via nerves. Kind of like how your taste buds work. And rather than using that tasting sensation to orgasm over the deliciousness of food to come, snakes are too busy using their taste to locate food. With every flicker of that tongue, and every time those tastes and smells their tongue collects is put into the Jacobson organ, it gives that snake the needed information to know just where that snack is headed. Their tongue and Jacobson organ works in such unison that a snake is able to follow the chemical trail left behind from a mouse, or the sexy pheromones of a lady snake, to fill both their appetites. Ow, ow, ow! So in a weird way, the snake is using both the sense of taste and smell to track down their target. And they do this by having the chemicals their naked forked tongue collects go to the roof of their mouth and travel up via nerves to the brain to know what's going on. That's how they taste. Pizza taco cakes taste so good. Although snakes are one of our animals of taste for the day, one could argue that they better represent the sense of smell. But seeing that smell and taste, even ours, goes hand in hand, it makes it a bit hard to differentiate the two. But don't worry, I found the answer. Or my answer. Taste is with the tongue, and smell is with the nose. Like I said, it's my show, I can do what I want. Fun fact! Although snakes smell with their tongue, they still do have a nose. Why? Well, what do you use your nose for aside from smelling? Breathing. How long did it take you to realize that? Did you realize it before I told you? If not, do you feel stupid? Speaking of feeling stupid...
Scientific names are hard.
This is the part of the show where I attempt to say scientific names. And since I suck at doing scientific names, you get to enjoy my suffering. And we'll see if my reading these names help to summon a demon. The demon of taste. And we're going to be doing two snakes in this segment, and then two fish in the catfish segment. And one is from North America, and one is from the Amazon. I think. Yeah, the Amazon. South America. Yeah. All right, and how we do this, I asked my roommate Emily to write down on a sheet of paper the scientific name of these animals, which I do not read until this moment. So this is the first time I'm reading these out loud, and I'm going to sound them out just like you were taught to do in kindergarten or first grade, whenever you decide to learn how to read. We're going to start with the copperhead snake. There's an A. It starts with A-G-K. What the fuck? Agkistrondon. Agkistrondon. Contortrix. Contortrix. Like contortionists? Because snakes, they have bones, but they can get in all sorts of weird positions. The next one, oh, Emily was nice. She wrote out phonetically so I could read the actual snake's name before we get to the scientific name. Verdelance. Verdelance snake. Or is that how it's actually spelled? I don't know. Let's find out what the scientific name is. Boothroops asper. Boothroops asper. Those have been the snake's scientific names. How did I do, guys?
It's the transition song from going to one topic to the next. It's the transition song so that we have no awkward silence.
Catfish, the tongues of the sea. I've been talking a lot about taste buds. Even during the snake segment, despite snakes not having taste buds, I talked about taste buds. After all, we have taste buds. We're very familiar with them, and the world revolves around humans. Find the person closest to you, and stick out your tongue to them. In a perfect world, they'd return this favor, and now you have an original palette of taste buds to examine. I guess you could just go into the bathroom and stick your tongue out and look in the mirror. But if you were bored enough, you could count all of those bumps covering your tongue. And if you have the right equipment, you could add to that count. All the other taste buds that are on the roof of your mouth and the back of your throat, you can add those to the count too. And if you were to count all of these tasting papillae in your mouth, you would come to around a total of about 9,000. And that's a lot compared to our snake friend from earlier. But catfish aren't called the tongues of the sea for nothing. There are actually over 2,000 species of catfish in the world, and they all have a bit more taste buds than us. Over 250,000? Fun fact! With the 2,200 known species of catfish, catfish make up 8% of the total number of fish. There's a lot of them. And they're the most diverse group of fish on Earth! In the water. More on this later. Even though catfish have more than 250,000 taste buds, they aren't really all on their tongue. Remember the frosting from that cake earlier you stole with a finger swipe so to sneak into your mouth for a taste? Well, imagine if you didn't have to bring that swipe of frosting into your mouth for a taste, and all you had to do was touch it. That's how catfish taste! They don't taste like frosting if you eat them. Like, that's how they're tasting. Okay, they basically taste just by touching something. Yeah, when they touch it, they taste it! And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the game show called Would You Rather? Where you ask yourself, would you rather? Here is our first round question. Would you rather never taste anything ever again, or taste everything you touched? Think about this carefully, because that means you can taste that rich, chocolatey cake by sitting your bare ass on it, but you'd also taste that doggy doo-doo if things go wrong. Let us know your answers on our Instagram page at WAF Podcast. Good luck! And that's the life of a catfish. Their entire body is a giant tongue. So if you enjoy fishing and have ever caught and then touched a catfish, it was licking you. Kind of gross when you really think about it. All right, so why? What is the benefit to being a giant tongue? Or not so giant, as catfish range in size from 16 feet to a half an inch? Well, let's dive into the great big body of water and find out a bit more about our tongue fellow of the sea. Or ocean, or river, or wherever the species you're imagining happens to live. Because they live everywhere except for Antarctica. But in water, they don't live on land. They're not land fish, they're catfish. Or catlands? Land cat. Catfish. Hopefully I'm not confusing you. In case you're unaware of what a catfish is, that's okay, seeing that there are over 2,000 species of them, and not all of them look like traditional catfish form. But for you traditionalists out there, here's what a traditional, generic catfish looks like. Take a fish and remove all their scales, but give it whiskers. But not like the ones your pets have, like not those coarse removable ones like the cat. No. These are actually skin that's attached to their face. Which, those whiskers, by the way, also have taste buds on them. Then give the catfish a big stupid face, like it's a dog who just got caught in the act of shitting on your rug. Big bulgy eyes, right? Wide open mouth, like, what the fuck? Yeah, that's a catfish! Typically, they have a big, long mouth, like mentioned, that if you were a tasty crustacean that they happen to swallow, as you go down, you'd be able to see the gills. And catfish are not to be confused with that fictional man you've been chatting it up with online. Only when it comes time to meet in person, he's not there. Catfishing! The common catfish, or like the channel catfish, they are bottom dwellers. And yes, species can be found in both fresh and salt water, and some species eat at the surface of the water, and others just eat at the bottom, and others eat wherever the fuck they want. As you can see, they are very adaptable, which may explain why there are so many of them in the world. And since there are so many of catfish in the world, it should indicate to you that they are very good at what they do. Not only do they have wild skin that acts as a tongue, but they also have very good sense of touch, smell, hearing, and electroreceptors. No wonder they make up 8% of the fish species in the world. They're like the bats of the water! Fun fact, Bats make up 25% of mammal species on Earth. All right, so that's a lot. So maybe catfish aren't quite bats of the sea, but the sea is fucking huge and we don't know what's going on under there. There could be even more catfish than we even know about. With all these amazing adaptations of the catfish, it didn't take long for some diabolical scientist to test the catfish's ability. If you were to rip the eyes out of a catfish, do not do this! They would still hunt and survive just fine. But if they couldn't taste, well, then they'd be out of luck. They wouldn't be able to survive. Tests have also found that catfish are not stupid. Okay, well, I mean, maybe they are? Kind of? All right, let me explain this to you. In the wild, if there is a bird or like a shadow overhead, which is like a bird shadow, then those catfish, they ain't coming out until that thing is gone, because they ain't stupid. However, though, in the lab setting, if like the scientist puts a little creepy shadow of a bird over top of it, the catfish eventually starved itself as it tried to stay out of sight of this diabolical scientist's fake bird that was always there. So aside from their stubbornness, the catfish also is a bit picky, as they won't eat if conditions aren't right. Meaning, if they can taste certain compounds in the water, such as sunscreen, tobacco, insect repellent, or even gasoline, they won't eat. Which makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I may love food, but I think I would lose my appetite if a fat redneck picking his belly button, sunburnt yet covered in sunscreen and DEET, spitting out tobacco and dripping oil into the water, handed me a burger and a beer. No, I wouldn't be hungry after that. That's gross. To truly understand how good the catfish's skin tongue actually is, imagine an Olympic-sized pool. That's like the size that Michael Phelps swims in at the Olympics. That's an Olympic-sized pool, right? All right, and then I want you to take a single drop of the liquid of your choice. Let's go ahead and stick with the redneck theme and go with beer like Coors Light, as nobody is going to miss that piss of a beer. Then I want you to squeeze just one drop of that Coors into the pool. Now, the catfish could be anywhere in the pool. Doesn't matter how close it is to that drop. Could be far away, one side or the other. But you know what? That catfish could taste that nasty-ass beer. And probably, quite possibly, wouldn't eat, as the Coors is disgusting. The conditions are not right. They are not right. I will not eat. Mm-mm. What is this nasty flavor on my skin? This is not correct. Give me a better pool of water. This is gross. Conditions are not right. There is a very interesting, and some would say disturbing, species of catfish that comes from the Amazon River. It's the size of a toothpick and doesn't look like the traditional catfish, as it can be easy to miss this tiny, somewhat clear fish while swimming and then carelessly peeing in the water. Now, also, I want you to keep in mind that what I'm about to tell you is a local legend. And there's only one reported case of this ever happening, but it's still a rumor that's there. And this rumor is, well, all right, here's the rumor. You want to hear the rumor? This is the rumor. The rumor is that some dude peed in the Amazon River, and because this tiny toothpick catfish confused it for food, swam up the dude's urethra. That's his dick. Then, while inside his dick, that little fish then erected its spikes, because it's covered in spikes for some weird reason, while inside the urethra, so that it can then eat the inside of the poor man's penis. The kandaroo. I think I'm saying that correctly. The kandaroo is what this catfish is called. This is a catfish species that's the size of a toothpick. The kandaroo. And also, it's also referred to as the vampire fish. For obvious reasons. However, though, as I said, this is a local legend. But the guy that this did happen to, he had to go into surgery, like surgery on his dick, in order to survive. With that said, this probably won't happen to you, seeing that for this tiny fish to swim up a stream of urine would be like you swimming up a rapidly flowing river. But it has happened. Oh, and ladies, don't think you're getting out of this, as the kandaroo is small enough it can swim up your urethra or vagina. Oh, or anyone's butthole. Again, there is only one reported case of this ever happening to humans, but if I was you and I was in the Amazon swimming around, I probably wouldn't piss, fart, or bleed in the water. Better to be safe than sorry, am I right? And now it's time for round two of Would You Rather. While swimming in the Amazon River, Would you rather be eaten alive by a school of piranhas or have a kangaroo swim up your urethra and die a different kind of agonizing death? And to help you make this decision, here are some facts. A school of piranha can finish off a cow carcass in 10 minutes. And if a kangaroo does swim up your penis to survive, you'd have to have it removed. Which brings us to round 3 of Would You Rather? And this one's just for the men. Would you rather die an agonizing, painful penis death by a kangaroo catfish up your dick, or have your dick cut off and survive? This has been Would You Rather. See you next time. Again, the likelihood of this tiny catfish swimming up your urethra is extremely slim. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning as a vending machine falls on you while having a picnic in the park. That is how unlikely it is for this to happen. But rumors are rumors for a reason, so just be careful. Also, I know what a dick tastes like, and a word of warning for all those kangaroo catfish out there who are listening to this podcast. Dicks don't taste very good, okay? I don't know why you want to even go there and try to eat that. It's disgusting. Blah, blah. And there are plenty of better tasting things out there that you can put into your mouth. Like the sensation of attempting to pronounce scientific names.
Scientific names are hard.
And this brings us to our final round of scientific names of today. And we are doing one from America, North America, and one from South America. We have the channel catfish, the common North American catfish that people fish for, and the kangaroo catfish. That's the little penis one. Or vampire catfish. Let's start with the less penis-threatening one. Candler catfish. Ictalurus punctatus. Ictalurus punctatus. Punctatus. Ictalactus punctatus. I'm pretty sure when Emily wrote this down, she told me it wasn't that hard. Just every time she tells me that, I think she jinxes it. Okay, let's go to the penis one. Kangaroo fish. Vandelli cirrhosa. Maybe she meant this one wasn't that hard, because I can say this one relatively easy. Vandilla cirrhosa. Cirrhosa? Cirrhosa, hossa, hossa. Our time on this earth is short, so take advantage of the taste buds God gave you, or that evolution developed in your mouth. If you can't taste things, then maybe consider wearing a mask in the future, as that's a side effect of COVID. So go get tested and maybe quarantine yourself if you're positive. If you're healthy and your taste buds work, as well as Lizzo dancing the splits while performing a perfect flute solo, then taste away. This world has so many fantastic tasting things to enjoy. And as I hear, catfish tastes pretty good. So go get a fishing registration and fishing pole and go get yourself something tasty. And don't kill snakes, as I'm sure you won't be using that snake's dead body for food for your family to survive with. But then again, I've never tasted snake, and I don't really know how it would taste. Anyways, what's the weirdest thing you've ever tasted? Share your answers with us on any one of our social media pages, which can be found in the show notes. Also, continue to taste the rainbow, and stay weird, you beautiful, amazing weirdos out there.